Hey friends, by now you've probably heard about the tragic accident that happened yesterday involving the school bus from Woodmore Elementary. So before you listen to this podcast, whether you're on your way to work or you're listening to this on your lunch break or your break, please take a moment and say a prayer for these children and families who are so tragically affected by this accident. I know yesterday Blood Assurance was asking for O negative blood, and they said that need's going to go on today and on through the week. So if you have the ability to donate blood, especially if you're O negative, please take a moment and go donate blood today. All right, please keep them in your prayers all week. And now, here's today's podcast.
They didn't have a collaboration of partners that were talking about the opportunities. And we're seeing that a win for one community was a win for all. And so the group that went there came back, sat down at the table, scratched their heads, and said, okay, so we know what we need to do, but how on earth are we going to do this? And again, because there was no entity out there that had the geographic scope that Thrive tackled and took on.
Bridget Massengill is the executive director of Thrive 2055. An initiative that looks at the growth and health of not just Chattanooga, but our entire region. Here in the first half of our interview, we discuss Thrive's efforts to cultivate a common community vision across a region of 1 million people, 3 states, 16 counties, and 79 communities. This is the Camp House Podcast, and I am your host, Matt Busby. Bridget, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much, Matt. It's an honor to be here.
Yeah, so my guest today is Bridget Massengill of Thrive 2055. And what I'm really excited about in this conversation is the fact that we just came from back-to-back episodes talking about the Innovation District and really talking about River City Company. So two episodes that are kind of hyper-focused on downtown Chattanooga. And now this conversation today with Thrive 2055 is more of a conversation of not just Chattanooga, not just Hamilton County, but the entire tri-state region that kind of has Chattanooga right at its center. And so that's what we're going to be talking about today is Thrive 2055 and this vision for this economic region of Southern Tennessee, Alabama, and Georgia. And so that's what we're going to be talking about. But, you know, before we get into that, Bridget, you know, I'd love for you to tell us a little bit more about yourself, how you got to Chattanooga. What is it exactly that you do? You know, are you a strategic planner? Like, how do you get into this role where you're bringing together so many stakeholders to be talking about something like Thrive 2055?
It's funny, you actually have no idea how many friends I have that it's an ongoing joke to try to describe what I do. So let me try to do my best here. My roots, I was born and raised in Tennessee, all the way from Middle Tennessee over to Northeast and then Southeast where we are today. I was raised in a family of caregivers in the healthcare industry, but being one who literally didn't have a stomach for it, asked me to walk into the OR or the labor and delivery room, I didn't have the stomach for it. My caregiving turned very early toward people and community. I went to UTC. I'm a graduate of UTC. I was a political science major. Thought I was going to go to law school and woke up to better things to do. And I have my master's degree in public administration with a focus on planning and development. But the path that kind of led me here is still not quite that clear. My passion for community was really sparked by Mayor Gene Roberts. So in my last couple of years at UTC, I had the honor of getting to work for him. He was the mayor before John Kinsey, and he was the mayor for several long time before they put in term limits. And so he was the mayor during mid-1990s, which is unquestionably the time when this city was really going through a major, major transformation. And without question, my career trajectory was really rooted on seeing leadership that was bold and visionary and something that was disrupting normal tendencies going into very blighted and distressed parts of our community that so many had turned their back on, and going into those parts of our community and saying, we can do better than this. And being a 20-year-old young woman, it really shaped the future of my career and brought me down the path that I went on. In the middle of that, to bring me back here, I did serve in Nashville at the Tennessee General Assembly, thankfully in a nonpartisan office. I was doing budget analysis for the General Assembly and providing them with research on many different things. I led a downtown development authority in Northeast Tennessee right after that. Got married in the middle of that, and then started and built a very successful consulting business that was centralized around community building and placemaking, focused on the National Main Street Center's Main Street approach to downtown revitalization. So Tennessee, for example, partners with them, and there's many communities, many here in our region, who are a nationally accredited Main Street community. And that is also what I did when I was in Northeast Tennessee as well. And so turning that around and helping communities figure out how to do that, very grassroots, pulling up your community by the bootstraps approach, and did that with communities primarily across the state of Tennessee, helping them kind of get in a shape where they would want to go that route and revitalize their towns, and then outside of Tennessee as well. But the thing that was lacking was that during that time, because of my husband, we moved around a lot, and his job led us back here to the Chattanooga area. And I was still doing that work, but none of it was done here in my home community. And so being a very community-driven individual, I stumbled across this initiative right as it was getting launched and said, this is for me.
Well, you know, when was that actually? Well, actually, before you start talking about the history of this organization, mm-hmm. you know, give us a brief definition of what is Thrive 2055, and then we can go into more of the narrative and the story and the history of how this was kind of brought about.
The definition of Thrive 2055, if we look at it from two different ways, one is around the community building part of it. It is an entity that convenes conversations on a regional scale to ignite action on local levels.
Okay. Yeah. Keep going.
The reason for that conversation is the other side of it. And simply put, it is about looking at the economic opportunities that are hitting our region with full force and making sure that we are making the most of them, much of that through partnerships, much of that through relationship building, getting to know each other, making the most of those opportunities while also preserving the very thing that makes our region unique and the very, very beautiful outdoors and the beautiful communities that are very individual and throughout this entire region.
Well, you keep saying region. And so, you know, before we really get into the story of Thrive 2055, I want you to kind of talk about that. You know, how big is this region? You know, there's several counties that are included in this. And why is it important to think about this as an economic region?
You know, it's interesting. I've just given you an overview of my background, which clearly was very focused on, in general, on downtown revitalization. And the reason that this spoke to me is because our region, it's a 16-county, 9 counties in Tennessee, 5 counties in northwest Georgia, 2 counties in northeast Alabama, 16 counties, 79 individual municipalities, cities and towns. And at the end of the day, we all share commonalities. We are all, when you talk about home when you're not here, you're talking about all of these unique and special places that you may go on the weekend or you may go after work. All of those places are what make up our home. And so it is a 16 county. It is looking at the places that may not be the actual city that you live in, but you call it home.
So is that how common is that for for different communities and different counties? You know, I think it is very common for people who live an hour outside of Nashville to just say when they go out of town, like, yes, I'm from Nashville, right? And that's kind of getting at the same idea that this is a very interrelated network of counties, but how common is it to really bring these different stakeholders, these different counties together just to say, hey guys, we have so much in common for the benefit of all of us, you know, let's come together and think of ourselves as this economic region and kind of look at what the different assets are of our entire region. How common is that?
It is not common. Okay. And it was not easy, and it is still not easy. I don't think anything really worthwhile in long-term perspectives ever comes easy. And this was a first for this region. I do say region very, it is the natural thing because it's been 4 years at this. But this was the first time that conversations here happened across state lines. It's the first time that conversations happened with partners that were working on the same things, but living on different parts of this region, but we're all interconnected. And when you look across the country nationwide, it's not common at all. It is a challenge to try to build those relationships and to build those discussions. But that was the lesson that we learned in 2008 through an intercity visit trip to Greenville, South Carolina, to get lessons learned of what happened when a German auto manufacturing facility landed in their backyard.
Yeah. So, okay. So now we're getting into the story, and that's where I want to go. So Thrive is this 16 county region that wants to focus on how can we create a better economic system for everyone? How can we protect our natural resources? And how can we keep what's unique about each one of our individual communities while still working together for common goals? Now, this conversation began way back in 2008?
Yep.
Okay, so take us through that story. Like, why did this start in 2008, this conversation about essentially what became Thrive 2055?
So, for all the things that you talked about from your earlier, from most of your recent podcast, talking about the revitalization that's happened here in Chattanooga, that's where community's focus had been, and many communities across the region. You know, everybody was looking at their growth from within, which truly must take priority before you begin to look outside. But then there was this announcement that was made in 2008. And Volkswagen coming into the region, this region knew it was going to be a game changer. And before that even happened, there began some regional discussions because it was such a game changer. And you would often hear folks in Bradley County, for example, that would say, this is more of a win for us because we're closer to the jobs at Volkswagen than people in Chattanooga.
Yeah.
It was a win for this region, but there was a definite awakening that before things started to happen, we better be a little bit prepared for that. And so the Chattanooga Chamber of Commerce sponsored an intercity visit trip, as they often do. They sponsored one this time to Greenville, Spartanburg, South Carolina region. And just as I said, they wanted to get those lessons learned from a community that had a foreign auto manufacturing facility land. And in that trip, so they brought leaders from around the region to join them. And in that trip, they heard over and over, this growth is going to come at you very fast. Once you have auto manufacturing in your region, then you're going to have tier one suppliers. You're going to have this growth that starts to ripple out. And the worst thing that you can do is not have relationships developed on a regional scale. And so they had challenges that they were working to overcome because they didn't have any kind of regional structure in place prior to that happening. They didn't have a collaboration of partners that were talking about the opportunities. And we're seeing that a win for one community was a win for all. And so the group that went there came back, sat down at the table, scratched their heads and said, okay, so we know what we need to do, but how on earth are we going to do this? And again, because there was no entity out there that had the geographic scope that Thrive tackled and took on.
So we really do think about Chattanooga having all these different kinds of firsts, you know, obviously with the gig city, you know, we just had the innovation district talk about having the first innovation district of any mid-sized city. And this is, again, one of those firsts that's not just our, you know, it's not just for us, but for this entire region to really start thinking of ourselves as being as interconnected as we truly are. We just normally we just don't see the way that our communities are interconnected between each other. But I think we all know that they are. We all want to pay lip service to that idea. But this is really putting it on paper of showing how we are interconnected and how we can use those interconnections to be a benefit to all of us. So as this conversation began to take place in 2008, kind of take us through the process, even to where, you know, here we are in 2016. So, you know, kind of what happened throughout 2008.
It's hard to believe it's been 8 years. And for the record, I wasn't here in those early days. And the stories are already quite legendary about how that came about. But leaders from this region sat down together and they said, how are we going to do this? Who's going to lead this? And so entities such as the Southeast Tennessee Development District were at a forefront. So they covered 10 of our 9 counties here in the Southeast Tennessee region. So there was the government side of it. Hamilton County was active and at the table. The city of Chattanooga was active and at the table. And then the Chambers of Commerce. So they started pulling in the partners from the Cleveland Bradley Chamber of Commerce, the Dalton Chamber of Commerce, and just inviting them to meetings and inviting them to the conversation. And so they started talking about how are we going to organize this? How are we going to do this? And they invited a speaker that came in. His name was Bob Groh, and he was from Utah. And Utah had done a similar thing called Envision Utah. And so bringing in speakers, thinking about, you know, the way that we do things around here, so much of it is about learning and learning from others, brought in a speaker and started hearing about ways that other places had done this and developed this plan and then said, okay, we need to raise the funding to do it. And so it was through a public-private partnership. It was the three-legged stool that we all are aware of. So you had the public sector, the private sector, and then all of our wonderful foundations from around here that all three sat at the table and put funding in to do it. It was local funding sources that made this happen. And then they said, where are we going to put this funding? And so the Chattanooga Chamber Foundation stepped up and said, we want to make it clear that this is a community-led initiative and that it isn't the government that's leading this, but the government is partnering with us. And so that is when the decision was made for this initiative to be housed within the Chattanooga Chamber Foundation with a very clear, clear message to me as a staff person that came on board that I was not to be out thinking or saying that I worked for the chamber. I worked for the entire 16-county region, and I reported to a coordinating committee that they developed that was representative of the urban, the rural, the suburban, the three states, and the 16-county region. And that is how this thing began and was launched.
So Thrive 2055, you guys have really, you know, in the process of this, you've come up with 4 categories. Is that going to be the right word to use?
We literally call them initiatives.
Okay, 4 initiatives. Mm-hmm. And each one of these are focused around, you know, key things to our region. One being economic development. The second one being education and professional development. The third being transportation. And the fourth being natural resources. And so these are really, you know, if you want to think about it, these are 4 assets that this entire region shares in common and can benefit from that we can share with each other. Essentially, some of it comes out of infrastructure, but some of it's just the natural beauty of this entire region. And so these are the 4 initiatives you guys identified, and so I'm interested in how you identified those 4, if there's a story behind that process of how those 4 things were chosen, and then we'll go through and talk about each one of those after that.
I love that question because, yes, there's definitely a story. And the reason I love that question is because we didn't, as in Thrive 2055, didn't select those initiatives. The very first year out of the gate, which was August of 2012, is okay. When this initiative was launched. The very first thing that we did out of the gate was called the first year Listen and Learn. Before we figured out how to make the most of our economic opportunities while preserving what we loved about our home communities, which was our mission, we needed to engage the region and let the region tell us. And so it took us a good year. And there was a lot of folks that were wondering, why is this taking so long? Well, because we are a million people.
Yeah, it's big.
And again, who am I walking into the room? Who are these people that are coming to find out what I love most about our home community? And that's how we started it, was with that question. What do you love most about your home community? What are issues that you think we should be working on? And what matters most on a regional scale? What do you think that this region should start paying attention to? Didn't throw out any multiple choice. Didn't throw out any guidance as to what the answers to those questions were. In fact, we launched a series called Meetings in a Box. And we would even have those questions on a worksheet, open-ended, and give it to folks and say, take this home and have a dinner table conversation. Take this home to your coffee shop group that meets on Thursday mornings. Take it to your church group. We asked people to just ask those blanket questions with no answers given to them and tell us what they loved most. Yeah. And it was through that very, very intense year of listening and learning, speaking to Rotary clubs, speaking to Kiwanis clubs, going to a Shoney's restaurant and speaking to a community group. There was so much engagement happening across this entire region that we ended up hearing loud and clear, no matter where we were, that four things were really what mattered most on an issue basis. First was jobs. So this region, it didn't matter what county we were in. People were talking about the need for job creation. And we saw some of our counties that have, they will have way more people living in their counties than they do have jobs available there.
Wow, yeah.
And so, and then Hamilton and Whitfield County are the two counties that have more jobs than people living in the county. So it's really an interesting division. But jobs, the second thing that we heard was the ridge cut. So again, it didn't matter if we were in Polk County, all the way on the outskirts of our Tennessee portion of the region, or if we were in Jackson County, Alabama, everybody was talking about the pinch points on our transportation infrastructure that we have that comes right through here. And it's the 2475, 59, all of those interchanges and the pinch point. And so transportation just kept coming up to, we've got to work together to solve it. And then the other was what we kept hearing through the things that mattered most. And the reason people were moving here, I think people here in Hamilton County, where I'm sitting today, people here love the outdoors. We know that. We're the outdoor city, best city ever for our outdoors. But the reality is, much of that is outside. The majority of that is outside of the city of Chattanooga or Hamilton County.
Right.
So the question was, do we know if the communities outside of the central core of the region care as much about that? And nobody had ever gone out and asked that. So it was a little bit fearful. You thought, are we all going to be on the same page with this? Or are the rural counties going to be saying something much different? Everybody said, we've moved here because of the beauty. The river, it matters. It matters the fact that what happens up in Meigs County on the river is going to affect what happens down in Jackson County, Alabama. It's the same water. The beautiful mountains, all of those things were reasons why. So we knew that that was something that mattered and that we needed to continue protecting as we moved forward.
Yeah. What's so exciting about that to me is that, you know, we haven't talked anything about, you know, politics, obviously, on this podcast for good reason. But, you know, after an election like we had recently and just feeling the massive amount of division within our country, you know, that's actually really exciting, you know, to know that we have this 16 county region that I guarantee you is just as divided politically as any other part of our country. But that we do have very common loves for the place that we live. And I think isn't that just the basis of community, right? Is finding these common places, where our affections come together.
It was so refreshing. It was unbelievable not only to see that kind of consensus just get built through all of these individual conversations, but But to find out that there was such a deep-rooted sense of pride and love for this place, no matter where you lived in it. Interesting. One of the rural counties, we asked a senior high school class. We went and we asked them, okay, when you look around you and you see all of this, you see all of this vacant land, open space, and you see farmland, would you rather see that develop so that you can stay in your county and have the jobs here? Or would you rather see that stay as it is and that farmland gets enhanced and then the job centers are over in the next city? Every single hand in the room raised that they did not want to see that open space go away.
That's exciting. That's so incredible.
And then it becomes incumbent on us to say, that's a very rural county that has desperate need for jobs. So how can we develop strategies to build jobs in that county while preserving the very thing that the young people told us they loved most? And that's what's going to help us be sustainable in the future. It's what's going to help us keep our people. And for goodness sakes, that is what is attracting people here in the first place. The last one was the education part. So this is, people thought this was going to be such a traditional planning initiative where it was all going to be physical things that you could actually feel and touch. But what we knew more than anything was, as these new jobs continued to grow in this region, and as technology was changing, and our advanced manufacturing is so different than what it was 20 years ago or even 10 years ago, that if we were not adequately preparing the people of this region for the jobs, then we were creating a perfect storm. And we were going to be creating a huge wedge between our region's people and access to those jobs. And I will tell you, there are regions across the country, their strategy is very outspoken that they want to attract people from across the globe to come and move to their community so that they can increase their economic prosperity by bringing in high-paying jobs and then people from outside that have that education and the skill set needed. And that's supposed to be their secret sauce to success. And what I loved through and through, no matter who we were talking to, never did that come up as a strategy. It was always, no, we have a million people here.
Yeah.
We're projected to grow by nearly 500,000 over the next 40 years. And that was prior to some major announcements that have been made. So that accelerated population growth, I have no doubt, is going to be higher than that. But we need to see what we can do to make sure that they come first.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, yeah. Obviously, in Chattanooga and Hamilton County, they've really taken this exactly what you just described head on with Chattanooga 2.0. I mean, that is the initiative, right? Like, how do we prepare our people here in this county to get the jobs that are going to be available in this county? But like you said, Chattanooga is a county that has a surplus of jobs in relation to the population. So how aware is the rest of this region of the fact that, like, we can also equip our people to take advantage of those jobs as well? So Chattanooga right now seems to be going through a revolution within education, at least hopefully, to be able to better prepare people for the jobs of the future. Mm-hmm. How much is that as a conversation that you're aware of in the surrounding counties around Hamilton?
It's a huge conversation that's taking place. I know that the other metropolitan areas of our region, so Cleveland metropolitan area and the Dalton metropolitan area, both heavily have their own efforts underway to strengthen the education of their communities. Scottsboro, Alabama, Jackson County, Alabama, they have the recent announcement of the Google Data Center. And so Google is coming in and making major investments towards helping to get those people prepared for those jobs. It's one of those things that, again, no matter what county we're in, everybody is talking about what can we do to help grow our workforce. The thing with each of these efforts is the reality that we continue, from Thrive's perspective, to showcase to the region, to say the jobs, when it comes to education, it is spot on with the initiatives such as Chattanooga 2.0, that it has to be local focused, because there is no cookie cutter approach to this.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, once these folks are prepared and they know what's coming and they're educated about what jobs are coming down the pipeline here in this region, they very well may drive right across the county line into another county for a job, a great job that's right next door, and vice versa. And so we're looking at the entire tide that must raise in order to raise all ships. And so we have got to get the education attainment levels up. We've got to get people prepared, because at the end of the day, these jobs are going to be something that it won't matter what county you live in, but you could drive to that job, and you very well may stay within your county to that job, but everybody's got to be ready for it.
Thank you for being here for the first half of our conversation with Bridget on the work of Thrive 2055. In this first half, we really discussed how the four initiatives of Thrive are connected and interrelated. But in the next part, we're really going to break down the particulars of each of these initiatives and how they are key to our collective future moving forward. Now, normally I would release the second half of the interview on Thursday of the same week, but since this Thursday is Thanksgiving, I'm going to wait and release the second episode on Tuesday, November 29th. Thank you so much to our studio sponsor, Lamppost Group. You can learn more about them at thelampostgroup.com. And you can always share this episode or any one of our podcast episodes at thecamphouse.com/podcast. So thank you all for being here. Have a happy Thanksgiving this Thursday, and we'll see you again here next week.